All right. If you would, turn over in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to read the first 7 verses. You thought I was going to read 2-8, didn't you? I might before it's over, but that's not what the plan is. But sometimes my plans go awry. But it's okay as long as his plan goes forward. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What I want to speak to today, and it's kind of a misnomer, but we'll get into that, and you who were dead. That's what I want to speak about. Now this first part of Ephesians chapter 2 takes us from the depths of humanity, our true human nature, to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In 7 verses. That's pretty darn good. You go from human nature, human depravity, human lust, to the riches of the exceedingly glorious grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, that's quite a gulf to cross in 7 verses, but Paul does it quite ably. I was listening to a dead Englishman the other day, now by means of digital audio. No, I'm not hearing voices. Like I said once, you know, only when people are speaking to me do I hear voices. And he pointed out something that I'd never really thought about. What he said, he was talking about Paul's epistles. And what he said was, we expound upon them. We expand upon them. And the reason you can do this, and the reason we do it, is because Paul's epistles were made to be expounded upon. He called them summaries or a synopsis of doctrine. He wrote this in a letter, but then he was there in person and he wanted to go back in person. He was talking actually about the letter to the Romans. Paul had never been there when he wrote it. But once Paul got there, he preached every day for a year and a half. The truth of God. But he had wrote them that letter, and it is made to be expounded upon. This is our foundation, the apostles' foundation. Paul put it this way, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation, and I must take heed how I build thereupon, but that's what we're supposed to do. That's the foundation, that's the foundation of the apostles, which is talked about in Acts. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's what we are to do. We are to build upon it. John wrote this, and there are many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. We work with what we have, and what we have is the foundation that the apostles and the prophets and Moses gave us in this book. And we are to take what's in this book and preach Christ. Because no other foundation can be laid. The foundation's laid right here. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now the reason I did want to say a little bit about that, about how we're to expound upon this, because this was a hard verse for me. When you start looking at it, you see in italics, "hath he quickened." That's added in. It's literally not there. I looked in the Greek, and it's not there. And it's not necessary to be there. Somehow or the other, whoever translated this verse, I think he got a little scared. I'm serious. I mean, I think he was worried that somebody might get the wrong idea. And he just added that in. It does come in verse 5. It's right there. Paul gets to it in his time. But this guy was in a little bit of a hurry. Because the first two words are "and you." Now, I want you to know who this "you" is. This "you" is everybody Paul's writing to in Ephesians 1. That's who he is. That's who it is. It's very simple. It's very profound, and it's very important that you know exactly who "you" is in the beginning of this artificial chapter division, chapter 2, verse 1. These are the same ones that Paul wrote to in chapter 1. The "you" is the saints at Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, those that have been blessed in him, those that have been chosen in him, those that have been predestinated, redeemed, those who know the mystery of his will, those who have an inheritance, those who trust Christ after they heard the gospel of their salvation, those who were sealed with the Spirit after they had believed, those whose eyes being enlightened, who believe by the working of his mighty power. I heard that this morning on that. That's good. It's his mighty power that has us believe. Those who are members of his church, his assembly, which is his body. That's the "you" at the beginning of verse 1 of chapter 2. That's who Paul's still writing to. It's all still one letter. And I will tell you this, it also means you, if you qualify. If you fit that description, if you've been chosen, if you've been given faith by his mighty power, so that you believe by his mighty power, it's also you and me, but only if you fit the description. Like I said, "hath he quickened" is not in the text. It is a true descriptive phrase of this "you." They have been quickened. It's not a lie. It's just an addition, and it's not. I don't think it's necessary. Because like I said, Paul goes on in 5 and says it again. I think the translators were just trying to show that Paul was still writing about the saints at Ephesus, and possibly to show the opposite of dead in trespasses and sins. Just to put it there. But the next thing I ran into was this word "were." "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins." Well, I looked because that was the title of this sermon. And you who were dead. That's what I want to talk about. You were dead. Now you're alive. Well, that word, when Paul wrote it, is in the present tense. It's not in the past tense. That just messed up my whole sermon. See, you plan these things, you think of these things, and then something happens, the Word of God fixes you.
Right.
It should.
Right.
A lot of people don't let that bother them, if you really want to know the truth about it. And to be honest, to be perfectly honest, I did think about skipping this word all totally. And just go on, because what I was going to say is true. But what I want to say now is what actually Paul has written. This is what we call biblical exposition. I don't want to add to it. I don't want to take from it. But it's in the present tense. Young's literal translation actually has this verse as, "Also you, being dead in the trespasses and the sins." Being dead. Because that ing is in there because it's the present participle or something like that. I forget. The participle means you put ing at the end or ed. Well, this is present tense, so you put the ing. If it was past tense, you would have put the ed. Enough for Greek grammar. But this is written in the present tense by the Apostle Paul. And I do think, Walter, that may have worried the fellow who translated this scripture. I think it did. And I can understand it. But this could be that Paul was referring to the past in the next verse. At that past time, we were being dead. We were being dead. Because in verse 2, it starts, "Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Where in the past, guess what? Ye walked. Guess what? That's the same ye as the same you in verse 1. We all came from the same place. No matter where you are now, we all came from the same place. And the Apostle Paul's fixing to tell us where it was from. And this is where we walked. We made one's way. The other definition of this is to tread all around. We stomped around this way that Paul's fixing to tell us about. This is how we lived in the past. We lived like the world. We loved like the world. We loved the world and the things in this world, of this world. According to the course of this world. This world is on a course, and it's been on a course since Adam fell.
Right.
And that course is cursed. The earth is cursed. The universe is cursed. The stars are cursed. There's a little thing out there they call entropy, which means everything's dying. Guess what? They're right. That's one part they got right. Science, until they change it, which they might. You never know about scientists. It changes, but God's word never changes. That's what that church at the Big Dip there at Shady's got up on the sign. I don't know if it's still there today, but it's been up there for weeks. They put it up there ever since they did that gay marriage thing. And I'm not here to talk about that, but they put it up. It says, "Man's laws may change, but God's word never changes." And that's true. I just wish they believed it and preached it. This word never changes. We lived like the world. We loved the world. The course of this world is cursed. And we lived according to this cursed world. And it says, according to the prince of the power of the air. I can't read that without thinking of Earl anymore when he heard that fella introduce Harry Emerson Fosdick, who was an Arminian preacher of the first rank. I read one of his sermons in a book. I think Debbie had it, or we got it one time years ago. It's a great sermon, so I had John Wesley in there. And none of them were any good. Not a one of them. So I knew Harry Emerson Fosdick. I knew the name when Earl talked about it. Well, he was introduced on the radio one time as the Prince and the Power of the Air, Harry Emerson Fosdick. And I'm thinking, boy, that guy was more right than he ever knew. I don't know if I ever got to introduce him again. I don't know if Harry Emerson Fosdick got the joke. But yeah, some truth was spoken, at least at the beginning in the introduction. We walked according to the Prince of the Power of the Air. Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. That's where they got that title for that book. Beelzebub, that's what it means, the Lord of the Fly. The Jews had this thing where they believed the spirits were full of evil. Evil spirits. The air was full of them, excuse me. The air was full of evil spirits. Fallen angels. And I don't know that they're off the mark. It talks about spiritual wickedness in high places, in heavenlies. That's who we had our walk according to. According to this cursed world and according to the prince and the power of the air, we were doing exactly what he wanted us to do. We were being just as evil as we wanted to be. Guess what? Nothing's changed. The next part of the verse is, which is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience right now. 2,000 years ago, yes. Right now, yes. The spirit hasn't changed. That spirit has not changed. That prince in the power of the air. This cursed earth has not gotten any better. Now the spirit that works in this world works in the children of disobedience. This in time past did include us. You. You who can fit the description of Ephesians chapter 1. These that Paul was writing to, the saints at Ephesus. We were just like the children of wrath. The children of disobedience. This is where we all walked at one time. But believers no longer walk there. That's the point Paul's getting to. This is where we're going from the bad stuff to the good stuff. But he's not done with the bad stuff yet. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past. Among whom also in times past we had our whole life. That's what the conversation is. It's where you abide. It's where you live. It's not just what you say, although it includes what you say. It's not just what you do, but it includes what you do. It's all of it together. Your whole life, my whole life, before Christ met me, was wrapped up in this world. And just like the children of disobedience, just like the children of wrath, I was no different by nature. My nature was fallen. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was being dead in trespasses and sins. Now, this does not say that we were once the children of wrath. Because that's the way a lot of people look at it. Well, we were the children of wrath, now we're the children of God. Well, no, that's not quite right. We were by nature just like those children of wrath. But believers were never, ever, never, can I say it again? Never appointed to wrath. Never appointed to wrath. See, this is one of them things where they run into problems with Romans chapter 9. The children of wrath are appointed to wrath. There are vessels unto honor, and there are vessels unto dishonor. Then the potter made both of them out of the same lump. There are the children of wrath. But the children of God never have been appointed to wrath. They have been a vessel unto honor. But the vessels, the children of wrath, are vessels fitted to destruction. But we were just like them. You couldn't tell us apart. You couldn't tell us apart. We were just like them. Living totally in the flesh. And in the flesh dwells no good thing. And that is in the present tense. In my flesh now dwells no good thing. But then you get to verse 4. And it says, but God. I agree, Walter. I think that is two of the best words in the Bible when you put them together. But God. You get through all this. We had our conversation here. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of our mind. Everything we had was corrupt. But God. That's what it comes down to. This is where it comes to. This is where Paul's leading us. Everything's against us. We were living according to the course of the world. We were following the prince and the power of the air. We were happy there. Even if we were miserable. Well, at least we don't have to go to church like them people over there. At least I don't have to believe that old doctrine of grace. It says I don't have no free will. But God. That's the answer to those first four verses right there. First three verses, excuse me. But God. This is the only answer. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. God's love and God's mercy are intricately tied together. God's mercy, God's grace, God's love, God's salvation. It's all tied together. And you'll find them in various things, hither and yon through the scriptures. But right here he says, "For who is rich in mercy for His great love. Wherewith He loved us." And we're back to us again, the people in Ephesians chapter 1. The you at the beginning of this chapter here. Us. If you fit the description, this is what God did for you. He was rich in mercy towards you for His great love, where He loved us. God's love is just like God. It's eternal. God is love. Now don't take the definition you have of love and try to fit God into it. This is the definition of God's love. If He loves you, He's merciful to you. If He loves you, He's gracious to you. If He loves you, He'll save you. He'll give you life. He'll bring you by His Son and reconcile you. He actually has reconciled you, but then He's going to let you know about it. Everlasting love, eternal love in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And He is rich in mercy toward everyone that He loves. Every single one. Walter, you were talking a little this, different place, even when we were dead. Even when we were dead. Well, we were dead. If He didn't love us when we were dead, we've got no hope. That's what we were. Also ye being dead. What? God loved us even when we were dead. God loved us when we were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now we were not dead because of our trespasses and sins. Our trespasses and sins are because we are dead. I sin because I am a sinner. And I'm a sinner because I'm dead. Because I fell in my father Adam. I was shapen in iniquity. I was born in sin. And so were every one of you. But God, even when we were dead in sins, here it is, hath quickened us together with Christ. And I like it. Earl said it. He said, Paul couldn't hold it in no longer. By grace you are saved. By grace you are saved. Why? Because it's all but God. His mercy, His love, even when we were dead in sin, He's quickened us together with Christ. Walter, He's reconciled us. He's redeemed us. We have received the atonement with Christ, by Christ. Excuse me. This is where you were, and this is what you were, dead. And life was given by the Father with Christ. Now, I do want to point this out. The Father quickens, the Son quickens, and the Holy Spirit blows where He listed. Guess what? These three are one. They agree in one. Our life, the life that we now have, that life that we didn't used to have, this gift is tied together, dependent upon, and with Christ, and in Christ. If He lives, ye shall live also. And guess what? He ever liveth to make intercession for you. But He ever liveth. He that liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? Our life is in His life. He is eternal. He has no beginning and He has no end. By grace ye are saved. What did you have to do to not be dead? Well, you had to be there. And don't worry, God made sure you were right where He wanted you when He was going to give you life. What can the dead do? How dead were we? Makes me feel like Johnny Carson. You're supposed to answer, how dead were we? We were so dead we didn't even know it. We were so dead we didn't even feel it. We were so dead that He had to give us life so that we might know that we were dead. By grace ye are saved. If it's of grace, it's not of works. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been raised in Christ. We are seated in Christ. In the heavenlies. We are seated. And guess what? He is seated upon a throne. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He always has been, He is now, and He always shall be, and He will be coming back with that written on His thigh. And some are going to be coming back with Him, and others are going to meet Him in the air. He has raised us up together and made us sit. I like that. What's it say about that beggar on the, raised up the beggar off the dunghill? Two. For the express purpose of sitting with princes and kings. He did that for you when He quickened you. You came to know it. It was planned and purposed from before the foundation of the world. For every single one that the Father gave to the Son, is going to be quickened, is going to hear the gospel, is going to believe the gospel, and is going to be seated with princes and kings. Where Christ is, wherever Christ is, there we are. Present tense, in Him. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There's more to come. There's more to come. This is written 2,000 years ago, thereabouts. There's been a lot happened since then. But there's still, right now, a lot more to come. He's going to show even more so the exceeding riches of His grace. His grace is shown in His kindness, His love, His mercy toward His people. We in Christ have been given so much more than we lost in Adam. I mean, Adam was in the garden. We're going to have a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, where Christ is going to be the light. And we shall live and dwell with Him forever. That's what I'm looking forward to. I mean, I like this world. I like the place I'm in right now, at least for the most part. I like most of my neighbors. God's put me here. And I like these mountains. But there is such a better world coming that I can't even imagine it. In the ages to come, He is going to show forth the riches of His grace toward us. We didn't deserve any of it. And all of this is through Christ Jesus, the God-man. Now, the conclusion, we have right now two natures. The old nature, but we do have the new nature. We are depraved. The flesh is still flesh. We are quickened by the Spirit, born from above, but my flesh is still my flesh. I still trespass and I still sin. But I'm no longer dead in trespasses and in sins. Right. That's a blessing. I no longer walk in sin. Live in sin, abide in sin. Why? By His grace, by His work, by His mercy. The old nature is still here in my flesh, but now there is a new nature, and you have it too if He's quickened you. Romans 7, verse 18. For I know that as in me, that is, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And like I said, that is present tense. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He didn't stop there. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That's where we're at right now. That's where we're at. There isn't, if there's not a war in your members, then there's not a war between your mind and your flesh. You don't know what I'm talking about. And you don't know Christ.
Yeah.
That's But Walter said this, this is one of the things he'll show you, you're not worth anything. And he's worth everything. The other thing that dead Englishman said was that it was hard to expound upon one of Paul's epistles without going to another one. He was right. They're all related because it's all one message. This is the story of God's children, how they were, how they are, and where we're going to. And ye were dead. You're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. You've been quickened. We have been quickened together with Christ. From the past, the present, and the future, all is in Jesus Christ. And we have been promised. And he is able to perform that which he has promised. I want to turn that up. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place. But most of all, thankful for you, our Lord and our Savior. Our forgiveness, our life, our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. Father, you have made your Son everything to us and for us and in us. Thank you in Christ's name.